There's a place buried beneath the earth where silence has weight, where nothing grows and the air hums like it's remembering something. It's not a temple, not a tomb, but it feels like both. In the heart of Switzerland, beneath the Alps and past the fences, lies a machine 17 miles wide, built to answer one question: what is everything made of? But on March 13th, 2015, the machine went silent. Not shut down, not offline, silent. For exactly 6 seconds, 28,000 sensors stopped reporting. Cameras didn't glitch, they captured nothing. Clock systems, independently synced by atomic time, all froze. The log files don't say error, they say gap. And that's not normal. Later, the engineers chalked it up to a sync issue. Just bad data, they said. But one technician quit that same night. He told a friend something was wrong with the reflections. He claimed he saw movement, but not in the room, in the glass. Like something was watching them from behind the screen. He left CERN, deleted his account, and vanished. Today, his badge number doesn't exist in CERN's archives. In that 6-second log file, it's not corrupted, it's been rewritten. To say maintenance. Because the machine didn't fail, reality skipped. Let's just get this out of the way. If you build a machine underground the size of a city, give it a logo that looks like three sixes, name your experiments after gods of destruction, install a giant statue of Shiva out front, then broadcast a weird dance about people falling into the abyss, don't act surprised when people start asking if you open a portal to hell. That's not conspiracy. That's just marketing. CERN says it's all science. And to be clear, they've done real important science. But ever since this thing went live, something's felt off. People started remembering things that don't exist. Others forgot things they swear used to exist. Archive files change without being touched. And a bunch of scientists at the facility started acting like they were trying to unplug the universe just to see what happens. And that's before we even get to the goat-masked tunnel dancers and the missing time inside the control chamber. I'm not joking. You can look it up. They say the point of CERN is to find out what the universe is made of, to break apart the smallest particles and figure out how everything began. Cool. But the machine they built to do it? It's called the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider. It's basically a giant underground racetrack for atoms. Scientists send tiny pieces of stuff flying through a 17-mile-long tunnel at almost the speed of light, then smash them together to see what falls out. It's the world's most expensive demolition derby for physics. And it runs at 13 trillion electron volts, monitored by private security teams with zero public oversight. Now that's not a lab, that's a cosmic wrecking ball with a security clearance. And here's the part no one really wants to say out loud. CERN may have already done something they can't take back. Some of the scientists think they touched a different dimension. Others think time got bent. And a few just left, quietly, mid-project, mid-career, with no explanation. Meanwhile, we get press releases like, "The proton bunches performed well today. No concerns observed." So cool story, guys, but that's not the whole thing. They've had real shutdowns due to strange accidents. In 2009, a bird dropped a baguette into the cooling system and it took the machine offline. In 2016, a human sacrifice was filmed on CERN grounds. No one involved was ever named. And yes, it was allegedly a hoax, but it's one hell of a weird one. And in 2022, they shut the whole thing down again for years to upgrade it. Something's happening in there, but no one's really talking about it. Now, you might be thinking, okay, but they're just scientists. What's the big deal? Yeah? Well, so were the guys who made the atomic bomb. They didn't know if the sky would catch fire when they set it off. They did it anyways. So when the people who built the largest machine in human history start talking about doorways and dark matter and opening the unknown, maybe we should pay attention. Because this isn't just about atoms. It's about obsession. It's about control. It's about what happens when you stare into the void and build a tunnel to it. They said they were trying to understand the universe, but what if all they did was knock? Hey, if you're still here, it means you're not just here for the surface level stories. You're chasing something deeper, like we are. So please do me a favor, hit subscribe, because if we don't build this community, the algorithm isn't going to help us and no one's going to tell these stories at all. All right, onward. Let's start with what they want you to know. CERN was born in 1954, just outside of Geneva, Switzerland. It stands for the European Organization for Nuclear Research, although the acronym makes no sense in English because it's based on the original French name, of which I am not going to attempt to say it because I don't speak French and don't want to butcher it. So here it is on screen. Fancy. It was built to help Europe get its science act together after World War II. Today, it's backed by 23 member countries, all pitching in to build big science toys and share the data. But those toys, they're not Lego sets. They're things like the Large Hadron Collider, also known as the LHC, which is the biggest, most powerful particle accelerator in human history. And when we say accelerator, we're not talking about a sports car engine. We're talking about a 17-mile-long circular tunnel buried deep underground that launches subatomic particles, tiny bits of atoms, into each other at nearly the speed of light. And why? Because when you smash these things together, new stuff comes out. Particles we've never seen before. Particles that make up the fabric of everything. That's how CERN helped discover the Higgs boson in 2012, also known as the God particle. This is the thing that supposedly gives mass to, well, everything that exists. And for that, yes, some folks got a Nobel Prize. Now, all of that sounds pretty impressive, right? Clean science, global teamwork, unlocking the secrets of the universe, totally above board, at least on paper. But here's the part where you lean in, because the deeper you go, the more this place starts feeling like less of a lab and more like a stage. Let's start with the experiment names. CERN didn't name its core projects after scientists or discoveries. They named them after gods and ancient myths. Atlas, the Titan who literally held up the sky in Greek mythology. Alice, a particle experiment, yes, but also a girl who falls down a rabbit hole into a strange, warped world. Apollyon, a name from the Book of Revelation, also known as the Destroyer, King of the Abyss. Real cute. Now, this could all be metaphorical. Scientists love metaphors. Or maybe it's not. Then we have the logo. CERN's logo is a stylized view of the collider's ring structure. But if you squint, or don't squint, it also looks like three overlapping sixes. Yes, that 666, the mark of the beast. The signature of the abyss. Or just a weird design choice that happens to look like Satan's email signature. Whatever it is, people have noticed. It's not just YouTubers and internet weirdos who got curious. Since 2008, the public's been watching CERN like a hawk. Why? Because when you build a $10 billion machine underground, cover it in mythological symbols, and tell people it might open up extra dimensions, people start asking questions. And honestly, they should. Because this whole thing feels less like science and more like a ritual with a budget. Now here's the weird part almost nobody talks about. The US is heavily involved in CERN. Even though it's supposed to be a European science project, the US Department of Energy, National Science Foundation, and private American firms all have fingerprints on the experiments. We've got American scientists embedded on major experiments. U.S. funding pipelines flowing into detector builds. Security protocols that are, let's just say, not open to public inspection. Some of the LHC's hardware even shipped through Los Alamos and Livermore Labs, the same labs that helped build the atomic bomb. So it's not just academic science. There's black budget DNA in this machine. But this isn't a story about particles. It's a story about intent and what happens when we aim a billion-dollar cannon at the fabric of reality itself. So let's say you're building the most advanced scientific facility in human history. It's going to smash atoms, maybe open a portal or two, possibly alter time. Question, what vibe do you go for? White lab coats? A little chalkboard math? Something NASA looking? Nope. CERN went with something closer to ancient cosmic temple meets Eyes Wide Shut. Seriously. Let's start with Shiva. Right outside CERN's main office, dead center in the courtyard, there's a 7-foot bronze statue of Shiva, mid-dance, standing in a ring of fire. Shiva, in Hindu belief, is a destroyer of worlds, not metaphorically, literally. His dance isn't a peaceful waltz either. It's called the Tandava, and it symbolizes the cyclical destruction and rebirth of the universe. So yeah, perfect mascot for a place smashing the building blocks of reality together like Hot Wheels. Now, CERN says it's symbolic. India donated the statue in 2004. There's even a plaque that calls it a cosmic dance of subatomic creation, which is poetic. But here's a crazy thought. Why not use a symbol of peace, knowledge, or light? Why the destroyer? What are you expecting to destroy or summon? Enter the King of the Abyss. The symbolism doesn't stop at Shiva. Let's talk about Apollyon. CERN runs its own servers, and one of them used to be named Apollyon. You can look this up in archived versions of their systems and network maps. Apollyon is from the Book of Revelation, chapter 9, verse 11. That verse literally says, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit." In the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. So just to be clear, that's the King of the Abyss, also known as the Destroyer. Again, might be metaphor, might not. Then their project names sound like a theology class. Let's run down some of the LHC's biggest experiments. First up, Atlas. In Greek myth, this guy literally holds up the entire sky. You have Alice, named after a girl who falls into a twisted mirror world. If this was just science, you'd expect names like Proton Smash Test 1 or Magnet Coil Study B. But no, they went with names that all revolve around death, mirrors, destruction, and gateways. And if you're wondering if that's on purpose, yeah, it probably is. And then there's the Tunnel Opera. This is where it gets really bizarre. In 2016, Europe opened the Gotthard Base Tunnel, the world's largest underground tunnel, also in Switzerland. It cost over $2 billion and many of the same EU bodies that fund CERN helped bankroll it. Now, guess how they celebrated? With a live performance that looked like something between a Masonic fever dream and a Black Mirror episode. There were dancers dressed as demonic entities, a goat-headed man leading people into an underworld, simulated ritual sacrifice, nude writhing, falling angels, and yes, a portal opening on stage. You can watch the whole thing online. You can't make this shit up. It was a state-funded gala attended by heads of state and global business leaders, many of whom just sat there politely clapping while a man in white levitated into the ceiling. And now here's the kicker. The choreographer behind the whole thing has worked on Freemasonic themed operas before. So yeah, not exactly science fair energy. Next up in the weird CERN tour, we have the faces in the wall. Inside CERN's facilities, there's a sculpture you won't find on the public tour map. It's a wall with human faces molded into it, not drawn, emerging, like they're trying to push through. No one officially explains it. It's not on the welcome brochure. Some staff say it represents human thought emerging from the collective unconscious. Others say it feels more like something trying to get out. You decide. So, is it physics or philosophy? CERN's public papers also use phrases like shadow particles, dark light, hidden sectors. Now, these aren't made-up phrases. They're legit physics terms used in cutting-edge theories, but they also sound like occult manuals. All legit physics concepts, but those exact phrases also show up in Hermetic alchemy, mystery schools, even Crowley's ritual texts. In those circles, dark light was the hidden flame behind reality. Sectors were dimensional layers veiled to human eyes. So either CERN physicists are reading old occult books on lunch break, or the language we use to describe the unknown hasn't changed as much as we think. Maybe the ancients didn't get the how right, but they knew something was there. Again, maybe it's all metaphor. Maybe it's just scientists getting a little poetic. But language matters, especially when you're building something that messes with space, time, and whatever's in between. There's also growing speculation that the symbolism matches ancient Gnostic, Hermetic, and Freemasonic traditions. Not in a copy-paste way, but in the structure. Ritual gateways, light emerging from darkness, destruction followed by rebirth, sacred geometry and architecture, initiation of knowledge through hidden trials. Some have pointed out that even the layout of CERN's internal halls resemble alchemical mandalas. Now that's speculation, but weird speculation with receipts. So again, maybe it's all metaphor, but what kind of science needs a god of destruction standing at the front door? Alright, so we've covered the myths, the statues, the names, the weird tunnel rituals. Now let's talk about the stuff that doesn't get mentioned on the tour. Because while everyone's distracted by Shiva and the God particle, CERN's got side quests running underground that sound more like sci-fi horror scripts than science experiments. These aren't the headline projects. These are the ones tucked in the corners of the collider, quiet niche, and very, very weird. Let's take a look. First up, AWAKE. That stands for Advanced Wakefield Experiment. Translation? They're using plasma, which is just superheated gas, stripped of electrons, to push particles using something called Wakefield. Think of it like this. Imagine a speedboat zipping across a lake. Now imagine a second boat surfing the wave it leaves behind, without using its own engine. That's what AWAKE is trying to do with subatomic particles. They're surfing plasma waves at insane speeds. Faster, cheaper, and maybe even faster than light in certain conditions. CERN officially says no, it's not faster than light. But physicists have openly written that under the right math, Wakefield acceleration can bend time thresholds. And if you're playing with time at the quantum level, yeah, things get weird. Next, we've got ISOLD. This one sounds boring, but it's not. ISOLD stands for the Isotope Separator Online Device. Now, what are isotopes? They're like atomic twins, same element, different weight. Some are stable, others are twitchy, radioactive little nightmares. ISOLD's job is to create and study rare, unstable isotopes. Pretty cool, right? Except, here's the kicker. Some of those isotopes, they're on the same material lists used in radiological weapons. Now, that doesn't mean CERN is making bioweapons, let's be clear. But it does mean some of this research could be used that way, especially when you're working with heavy metals, decay chains, and neutron spiking. And when you find out that U.S. defense contractors have been involved in ISOLD, you start to ask, who exactly is this research for? Then there's CAST, the CERN Axion Solar Telescope. It sounds cool, and it is. CAST is basically a giant magnet telescope that's trying to detect axions, which are tiny theoretical particles that might make up dark matter. These things are ghost-level invisible. They don't react with light, they barely touch matter, and if they exist, they're everywhere, even inside you right now. CERN is pointing CAST at the sun to see if any axions are bleeding through. But here's where it gets fringe. Some believe axions could be messenger particles between dimensions. That they don't just float in space, they carry information through hidden sectors of the universe. Now, is that proven? No. But CERN scientists have publicly written that CAST's results could reveal new physics that challenges the standard model, which is science code for, we don't know what we're going to find. Now let's talk TOTEM. TOTEM stands for Total Elastic and Diffractive Cross-Section Measurement, which is a very fancy way of saying we're studying how protons don't hit each other. Seriously, they shoot particles at each other and then measure what didn't happen. Now that might sound dumb until you realize it's revealing ghost trails of matter. It's showing us how protons bend, scatter, and disappear into what they call diffractive states. Now, what about NA61 Shine? NA61 Shine is another one of those names that sounds harmless, but it's not. It stands for Shine, SPS, Heavy Ion and Neutrino Experiment. In plain English, they're using heavy ions, basically fat atoms like lead, to try and recreate quark gluon plasma. That's the hot chaotic soup that supposedly existed just after the Big Bang. And why? Because it's the only way to test what the early universe looked like before matter froze into protons and neutrons. Cool, but also terrifying. Because if you're recreating Big Bang conditions inside a particle tube, the margin of error is basically don't sneeze wrong. Now let's talk paper trail. Every one of these side experiments, AWAKE, ISOLD, CAST, HIRADMAT, they're all real. They all have public research papers, most with full datasets and nerd-level deep dives online. You just won't find them on the homepage. They're buried across CERN's internal servers and scattered across university-hosted mirrors. Which means, if you're not a particle physicist or a feral internet detective, you probably won't even know where to look. But they're there, all public, all real, just buried. We also know that US national labs didn't just shake hands with CERN. They built some of the most critical hardware. Fermilab, Brookhaven, and Berkeley Lab helped design and ship parts of the LHC's magnet systems, some of the most powerful ever made. Berkeley even recently delivered focusing magnets for the collider's high luminosity upgrade. These aren't side hustles. These are core components. Without them, the LHC doesn't run. Then you've got Lawrence Livermore National Lab, the LLNL. They didn't build the magnets, but they've been inside CERN's core experiments. LLNL researchers are official collaborators on both CMS and ATLAS, the two mega projects where most of the universe's secrets are being squeezed out of the vacuum. In fact, they just shared in the 2025 Breakthrough Prize in Fundamental Physics, a big deal in the science world, for their work at CERN. So no, Livermore didn't ship magnets, but they're knee-deep in the data, the analysis, and the math behind the biggest discoveries CERN's ever made. These aren't physics toys. They're weapons-grade machines, and the paper trail doesn't end in Europe. It runs straight through the US government and into the dark. So let's say you build the biggest machine on Earth. You fire it up, you smash atoms, you discover the Higgs boson, the so-called God particle. Cool. Now here's the weird part. After that moment, reality starts acting drunk. People start remembering things that never happened. or forgetting things that definitely did. And the more you look around, the more it feels like something glitched. Like we all took a sharp left turn somewhere and didn't notice. So let's rewind and walk through the timeline. Not the one from science class, our timeline. The one where weird stuff started creeping in right after CERN flipped the switch. On September 10th, 2008, CERN fired its first successful beam through the LHC, aka the Large Hadron Collider. This was the moment the collider came to life. 17 miles of magnets, an underground tunnel so precise it had to be leveled to within micrometers. They sent particles flying around the ring at nearly the speed of light. But 9 days later, boom, a massive electrical fault fried part of the machine. They had to shut it down for 14 months. And some people say that short burst of energy may have been enough to do something. No proof of that, but it's where the suspicion begins. In 2010, CERN brought one of its stranger experiments online, ALICE. ALICE stands for a Large Ion Collider Experiment. It's the part of the LHC designed to smash heavy ions, like lead, together to recreate the quark gluon plasma that supposedly existed just after the Big Bang. Translation, they made early universe soup in a tunnel. Not a metaphor. ALICE isn't your typical science project. Even its acronym feels a little too on the nose. As in, we just fell into Wonderland and now everything's backwards. Then on July 4th, 2012, CERN made history. They confirmed the discovery of the Higgs boson, a particle that gives mass to other particles. It was a huge deal. People in lab coats literally popped champagne on live TV. Nobel Prizes were handed out. But here's what nobody talks about. Right after 2012, the Mandela effect exploded online. People started arguing about weird stuff. Berenstain bears versus Berenstein bears. Luke, I am your father versus no, I am your father. The location of New Zealand moving on the map. Human organs being in different places than we learned in school. Movie lines, logos, song lyrics, book titles, all subtly wrong. This wasn't fringe Reddit stuff anymore. It went viral. People were recording videos, crying, panicking, even accusing each other of gaslighting. By 2015, the LHC was hitting higher energy levels. CERN started colliding particles at 13 TeV, tera electron volts. That's 13 trillion electron volts. Enough to theoretically produce micro black holes, according to some interpretations of brain cosmology. CERN said it wouldn't be dangerous. They even wrote papers to prove it. But here's what they didn't publish. During this period, several unexpected results were noted in beam behavior. CERN's own logs mentioned unexplained anomalies, strange signal distortions, and this is a direct quote, data requiring reinterpretation. Interpret that however you want. In 2016, things got straight up bizarre. A video leaked showing people in black robes performing a mock human sacrifice at CERN, right in front of the Shiva statue. A woman kneels, another person stabs her, then they all scatter. It's filmed from inside the building, on a phone at night. CERN's official response? It was a prank. Staff having fun. No one got hurt. But here's the problem. No one was ever identified. No one was fired. The incident disappeared faster than you can say media blackout. Oh, and a few weeks later, another unscheduled shutdown. No clear cause given. Coincidence? Maybe. But that same year, Gothard Tunnel launched with its now infamous goat-headed ritual performance, and several CERN-affiliated EU officials were in the audience. It felt like something was cracking. Then, from 2019 to 2022, CERN shut down the entire LHC for 3 years. The reason? A massive upgrade. When they brought it back online in 2022, it started colliding particles at the new record of 13.6 TeV. They said this would help discover new particles beyond the standard model. In normal people speak, we don't know what's out there, but we're going to ram stuff into reality until it spits something out. And ever since then, Mandela effect claims have doubled. Some GitHub code archives now show modification timestamps from before the original file was created. PDFs and online documents get reported with shifted edit histories. Web archives randomly swap out old content and no one knows why. Geographic data inconsistencies show up in digital maps, then vanish. And just to explain this for the rest of us who aren't basement coders, Git is a tool that tracks changes to files, mostly computer code. Think of it like a time machine for nerds. It shows you what changed, who changed it, and when it happened. GitHub is where that code gets stored online. It's like Dropbox, but for every version of every file ever saved. So when we say a file was edited before it was created, we're not being poetic. That's literally what the system showed. And the deeper we looked, the worse it got. Git and GitHub don't just store files, they record time. Like a forensic clock, they mark exactly when a file was created, changed, overwritten. But some developers started noticing anomalies. Files showing timestamps before creation. Commits appearing without users logged in. Snapshots that disappear, then reappear slightly altered. And these weren't just local computer glitches. They happened in the cloud, across mirrored systems with synced atomic clocks. So if you're wondering what a timeline glitch looks like in code, it looks like this. Not a memory, a signal. Scrubbed. And unless someone messed with the clock manually, that shouldn't be possible. Now let's pause here. The Mandela effect might just be bad memory. Psychologists call it confabulation. Filling in blanks with what your brain thinks is correct. And it's totally plausible. But when thousands and sometimes millions of people report the same wrong memory at the same time, something else might be happening. Especially when database versions get overwritten, archived files return altered, edits show up in timestamped records with no matching human interaction. That's not a memory issue, that's a reality sync problem. So here's what we know. CERN began ramping up energy in 2008. By 2012, the Higgs boson was found, and Mandela effects went global. By 2015, reality started feeling unstable. By 2016, we were filming fake rituals in front of actual gods. By 2022, we were smashing particles harder than ever into a fabric we still don't fully understand. So maybe this is all just weird coincidence. Or maybe we broke something. Okay, here's where things get cosmic. We're not talking about particles anymore. We're talking about possibilities. Because once you build a machine that smashes atoms together with more energy than a hurricane, you're not just playing with matter. You're messing with reality itself. Let's start with something called brain cosmology. Not brain with an I, brain short for membrane. This comes from string theory, a real but still theoretical model in physics. It says that what we think of as the entire universe might just be a thin sheet floating in a much bigger multidimensional space. Picture our universe like a bedsheet. Now imagine another bedsheet right next to it. They can float side by side, never touching, unless something rips through. And what rips through? Energy. Lots of it. Which just so happens to be what CERN is pumping into the ground beneath Switzerland. According to brain theory, smashing particles hard enough could actually punch holes between these sheets. In other words, portals. Now before we go further, what the hell is a brain anyway? Let's break it down with no PhD required. A brain is short for membrane. It isn't something you can touch. It's not a wall or floor. It's a dimensional sheet. Imagine you're an ant walking across a piece of paper. To you, the paper is flat. It's your entire world. But someone in a higher dimension, us, can fold that paper, flip it, or press another sheet against it. That's what some physicists think our universe is, just one brain among many. And if you hit it with enough energy, you might punch a hole right through it. Now, speaking of holes, let's talk micro black holes. CERN itself has published that micro black holes are theoretically possible under certain conditions inside the LHC. And just to be clear, these aren't the giant space-sucking monsters you see in movies. They'd be tiny, they'd last less than a second, and CERN says they'd disappear almost immediately. That's the official word. But when people asked if micro black holes could be dangerous, CERN's answer was basically, we don't expect them to happen, but if they do, they should be harmless. Should? Well, that's not exactly the confidence you want when bending space-time. And here's where the math gets even crazier. In string theory, our universe doesn't just have three dimensions of space and one of time. Some versions need 10 or 11 dimensions to work. Most of these are curled up super small, too tiny to detect. But some physicists believe the LHC is powerful enough to actually poke into one. If that happens, particles might leak out or blink in from somewhere else. And if something does come through, we might not recognize it at all. Alright, now hang on, because this next part sounds like science fiction, but it's real. Let's talk about D-Wave. D-Wave is a Canadian company building quantum computers. And their founder once said this on stage. With a D-Wave system, it's as if you're tapping into the shadow of parallel universes and pulling out the answer you need. He wasn't being metaphorical, he meant it literally. And it lit the internet on fire. Till this day, physicists still debate whether he was exaggerating or accidentally telling us something we weren't supposed to know. And here's the weird part. D-Wave isn't just some startup. They've got military contracts, intelligence ties, and they're playing in the same sandbox as CERN. Some say they're not just playing, they're picking up where something darker left off. So there's a fringe theory floating in deep forums and esoteric circles that CERN isn't just playing with particles. It's trying to see through time. Some say the Large Hadron Collider is the modern reboot of the Chronovisor, an alleged Vatican device from the 1960s that could tune into past events using electromagnetic harmonics. It's totally unproven, totally denied, but what would it take to build a device like that if it were real? Well, you need insane magnetic fields, radiation shielding, harmonic resonators, and massive power fed into structured geometric pathways. Sound familiar? Because that's literally CERN. In 2009, Sergio Bertolucci, who was CERN's director of research at the time, told reporters, I quote, "Out of this door might come something, or we might send something through it." Let me repeat that. The guy running research at the biggest machine on Earth literally said, "We may open a doorway." Later, he walked it back, said it was just about data exchange. But sure, just a metaphor. Come on, who says that? Especially when your whole job is about keeping reality from falling apart. Back in 1935, Einstein and Rosen came up with the idea of bridges through space-time. We call them wormholes now. Basically, if you bend space like a piece of paper and punch a hole through it, you might be able to connect two distant points instantly. These are called Einstein-Rosen bridges. And guess what? Some physicists believe the LHC could produce the conditions needed for one, at least for a moment. Even Stephen Hawking warned that the LHC could create tunnels in space-time under certain conditions. And then he added something dark. He said if we mess with the vacuum of space the wrong way, it could cause something called vacuum decay, which translated basically means goodbye universe. But sure, let's keep flipping switches. So here's the big question. What if the Large Hadron Collider wasn't built just to look at particles? What if it was a key? A key meant to knock on the walls of reality, not just to understand it, but to open it. Maybe they don't know what's on the other side, maybe they don't care. Because in science, being first is often more important than being right. Thank you. Let's stop here. This is where most videos either double down on the wild or backpedal so hard they fall off the map. But not us. We're going to shoot this straight. So first off, CERN is real. The science is real. The machines are real. The goals on paper are noble. They're trying to answer huge questions about the universe. No argument there. But here's where it gets squishy. Not all activity at CERN is public. That's not a conspiracy. That's just fact. High-level projects with multiple international governments always have layers that don't make the press release. The symbolism overlaps? That's verifiable. You can see the Shiva statue. You can read the names of the projects like Alice, Atlas, Apollyon. You can watch the weird Gothard tunnel ritual on video. That's not someone's fever dream. That happened. Now, the Mandela effects? Some people say they're all in our heads. Memory errors, false consensus, mass psychology. But here's the thing. There are actual data discrepancies. GitHub timestamp glitches. Modified PDFs with no edit trail. Archive sites that show different records depending on when you look. That's not imagination, that's forensics. Now, to be fair, some claims are still way out there. Stargates, interdimensional beings, reality swaps. No confirmed evidence, but here's the kicker. A lot of these ideas suspiciously echo the language in real scientific papers, like hidden sectors, dark light, brain collision. That's not from sci-fi novels. That's from CERN's own research index. So what do we do with that? Well, we look at who's watching. Because once you bring in intel agencies, military contractors, and quantum computing firms funded by defense budgets, you're not just watching atoms smash. You're watching a silence form, a very expensive silence. So no, we're not here to prove the wildest theory, but we are here to ask, why the f*** do we never get told the real one? After all that, we need to breathe. Because buried under the wires, the magnets, the quantum jargon, and the billion-dollar collisions is something so human it hurts. We built the biggest machine in history, not to conquer a planet, not to end a war, but to look at the smallest thing in the universe. We did that. And maybe that's beautiful. But maybe it's also a little terrifying. Because somewhere along the way, when we were chasing atoms and shadows, we stopped asking why. We built the machine so powerful it could recreate the Big Bang, and then asked what else it could do. We tore holes in time looking for ghosts of particles that might not even exist. We called it progress, and we called anyone who questioned it crazy. But here's the thing no one wants to admit. If they opened a doorway, who decides what walks through it? What if there's no applause at the end of this discovery? No medals, no light bulbs, no triumphant moment where everything finally makes sense? What if we pull the thread and it just keeps unraveling? Because the scariest thing about CERN isn't the collider, isn't the Shiva statue. It isn't the timelines or portals or even the void. The scariest thing is what we're willing to break just to see what's on the other side. All right, folks, if you made it this far, thank you for not being afraid to ask the big questions. And if you want to support this kind of work, you can do it for as little as $3 a month over at patreon.com/divergentfiles. Because while the algorithm's busy giving 3 million views to a cat that accidentally belly flops into a swimming pool, this truth barely sees daylight. So hit subscribe, tap like, and share this with someone who still believes questions are worth asking. Let's fix the signal. Until next time, stay curious, stay grounded, and remember, no matter what they tell you, the truth is still out there. These investigations are powered by those who believe truth still matters. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. Join the mission at patreon.com/divergentfiles.